To introduce Emily Miller, the author of Emily Gets Her Gun.
Thank you. Thank you, Julianne, and thank you, Alan, for having me. It is so great to be here among friends. As many of you know, I am relatively new to Second Amendment rights. It has not even yet been 2 years since I shot a gun for the first time. Thank you. But I'm much better, I will say. I'm much better now than I was. I'm a much better shot. And I'm getting better. But my story, you know, I started getting interested in getting a gun personally because I was a victim of a home invasion. I live in Washington, D.C., and I went into a house where I was dog-sitting and found a robber in there. And he and his 15 buddies were casing the neighborhood outside, had two pickup trucks. And when I went to bed that night, I thought to myself, if they come back, what am I going to do? How am I going to defend myself? And I thought, and it was the first time in my life I'd ever thought this, I thought if I just had a gun on my night table, I'd have a chance of defending myself. So the next day I tweeted that. I said, I think I'm going to get a gun. This is in Washington, D.C. Now you laugh, but you know, we had the Heller decision, thank you. I know we had the Heller decision. I knew the 30-year gun ban was over and you should be able to get a gun. Well, the responses on Twitter were fast, and I'm at Emily Miller if any of you aren't following and want to interact. And the responses were quick. You can't get it, it's impossible, you'll never do it, you can't get it. So as soon as I heard that, I knew I was gonna get a gun. So I write for the Washington Times, which is the good newspaper in Washington. The bad one's the Washington Post. They're the liberals. And I went to my editor and I said, I'm going to get a gun. Why don't I write about it in the Washington Times? I keep hearing that it's really difficult to get one and I don't know what's going on. And he said, sure, it's a great idea. I said, I think it'll take about 2 weeks. I said, maybe three stories. He said, sure, that's fine. So I go, and I went down to the police department, and I said, hi, I'm here to get a gun. And she said, you have a gun? I said, no, I'm getting a gun. I need the permit. She's, oh, no, you can't get a permit. I'm like, well, what do I get? She goes, well, first you have to get the gun. I said, well, where do I get a gun? She goes, all right, you need to start here. So she starts putting all this paper on the desk between us, page after page. 22 pages later, she said, you know, come back to me when you have your gun, when you've taken your test, when you've gone to Charles Sykes, when you've gone into this, and you've taken your ballistic test. I was like, what in the world? So I went home, and I went through it, and it was 17 steps, I figured, to get this gun. So quite to end that story quickly, the 2 weeks I thought it would take me to write this series in the Washington Times to get a gun legally, it took 4 months. It cost $435 in fees. And the 17 steps actually became 22 steps, I found out later. So this was really shocking, and what the DC City Council had done since the Heller decision to make it virtually impossible for law-abiding people to get guns. They just put in all these regulations. Now, of course, obviously, we all know the criminals aren't getting their guns. They're not taking the written 20-question test that I took. They're not getting their fingerprints done before they go shoot someone. And then, of course, many of the law body aren't doing it because they don't want to go through this hassle. So I wrote this story, and soon after, not that long after, I was writing about this, and I got really involved in, for my own reasons, for self-defense and Second Amendment, Barack Obama was reelected. And as much as the gagging sounds in the front row, well, he was reelected. And he made gun control his top legislative priority of the second term, something many of us warned about, said it was going to happen. They said we were trying to scare people. It wasn't true. And unfortunately, he exploited this horrible, horrible sick tragedy at Newtown, where 20 children were killed, in order to push this agenda. And why this assault this year has been the greatest in 20 years is because not only do you have this rabidly anti-gun president in the White House, you've got this funding from like Bloomberg, who is willing to spend and already has spent tens and tens of millions of dollars to nanny our whole country on everything, primarily our guns. And so the combination of that, the liberal media backing them, we've seen, as you all know so well, the greatest assault in the Second Amendment that we've ever seen in the past year. And that's what inspired me to write this book, because I had just been through Washington, D.C.'s gun law. So every gun law that Obama and Bloomberg want in this country, they're in effect in Washington, D.C. And let's look what happens. It takes law-abiding people like me 17 steps in 4 months to get a legal gun that I can't take out of the house because there's no carry laws. That's another step we've got to get to. And the criminals are shooting everyone. So assaults with a gun are up 20% in 1 year in Washington. All violent crime is up, while it's down in the rest of the country. Sexual assaults are up 50% in Washington. So this is what the effect is, and this is what Obama and Bloomberg want to put onto all of America. And quite frankly, they've been pretty successful this year. I mean, we've seen, since January, we've seen 5 states pass gun control laws with things that exist that I've gone through, like assault weapons ban, high capacity magazine bans, all these bans. In states even like Colorado, Western, pro-gun, long heritage states have passed these laws. So what we have to worry about is what we need to fight for, and what I've tried to do with my book is to get around the message that's coming from the White House in that bully pulpit and the multi-million dollars of ads that Bloomberg is paying for that are deliberately misleading the public into believing some things that aren't true. And I think the number one thing that the public does not understand, and we all know to be true, is that there has never been any gun control law that has reduced crime. Right? So if no gun control law has ever reduced crime, then gun control is about controlling law-abiding people and not public safety. If we want to worry about public safety, it's not gun control laws. And the second thing that you're hearing so much come from this White House and so much confusion in this country is that when the theory that they say, well, let's say I was on Piers Morgan a couple weeks ago. I know. Into the lion's den. Sorry. and he's, you know, people ask me, why do you even go on these liberal shows? And the reason is because they spew off false information. And even though he yells and screams and interrupts, if I can at one time interrupt and give a factual answer, and maybe there is, look, I don't watch Piers Morgan, but maybe whoever those people are who watch them could hear me and hear a fact, then it's worth being yelled at for whatever amount of time I was on TV. So, Piers Morgan said, the more guns we have, the more gun crimes we have. And I said, no, that is not true. We have the highest rates of gun ownership in this country that we've ever had. We have 300 million guns in this country, likely more, and gun crime has gone down consistently for 20 years. In fact, the FBI figures that came out last week, 2012, show that gun murders have gone down 50% since 1993. So no, Piers Morgan, more guns does not equal more gun crime. That is not accurate. So let's talk about facts. And you know, in the liberal media, they want to debate emotion. And they do not want to debate facts because they lose on the facts. But the American people fall for it and they believe it. And in fact, a Pew poll done in May asked people, do you think gun crime is up, the same, or down? And only 12% of the American public said down. 88% of the American public thinks gun crime is up. And that's what's being pushed by this White House, pushed by Obama. And the third thing that they talk about so often, which is wrong, which is that mass shootings are up. And you heard that last week after this horrific shooting in where I live in Washington at the Navy Yard, 12 innocent people killed at work. Obama comes out and says, we have yet another mass shooting. And the liberal media, of course, blame the AR-15, which wasn't involved. It's a whole other thing. Or as CNN calls it, the AR-15 shotgun. I mean, so they blame the gun. It was a shotgun. It was bought at my range. It was bought legally. He passed 2 background checks. But still, Obama comes out, Bloomberg comes out, liberal media comes out, mass shootings. And then again, I was on these liberal media. I was on Anderson Cooper's show. And one of the guests said, mass shootings are up. They're happening. No, sorry. All 5 of the guests, except for me, said, mass shootings are up. They're happening all the time. We have to do something. We have to save these lives. We have to do something. And I interrupted and I said, stop. That is not true. Mass shootings are not up. And this one guy, Cornell something, said, oh, yes, they are. They're up. Mass shootings are all happening all the time. And I said, because I knew my facts, I said, really, Cornell, where do you get that? And he said, 'cause they're happening all the time. And I said, well, Cornell, we can guess that they're 'cause they're happening all the time, or we can look at the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service, the research arm of Congress that came out with a report in April this year, which studied mass shootings, those four or more deaths, over the course of 30 years. They're not up. They're not down. They're not up. And the average is 18 people a year. Now, those are 18 people who people love, and they're innocent people, and I don't take anything away from their lives, but it's not an epidemic. And the fact that it's Obama and the other side that is trying to make people scared and make the public scared is why there's 88% of people who think gun crime is up. And that's something I'm trying to change with my book. I'm trying to get the message out. And I really believe the most important thing we have to worry about this year is getting facts out. And however you can dispense it, whether it's person to person, conversations with your neighbors, with your colleagues, with your friends, to make sure they understand we don't have the bully pulpit of the White House. And we don't have endless money to spend like Bloomberg. And they are determined. Obama, after the Navy Yard shooting at the memorial service for these people, which I thought was pretty sick, he said that he was not going to rest until gun control is passed on the Senate level. Not going to rest on his term. Bloomberg has said the same thing, and he's spending a lot of money to bash senators around this country to do that. And then just this week, Obama says to his Secretary of State Kerry, sign the UN Arms Treaty, which doesn't recognize the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. This is a fight that's not going away in the next 3 years. They have all the money and they have all the power, but we have the Constitution and we have the Second Amendment and we have groups like the Second Amendment Foundation and we have the courts. And the one thing I'll say is the great success that we have, I think the one really big success that was not on defense this year was on offense, was what happened in Illinois this year. And I just want to just quickly read just a few words from my book about what happened. They said the biggest win for carry rights to date is Morin Shepherd versus Madigan from last December, when the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decision struck down the carry ban in Obama's home state of Illinois. The case was a landmark because, as Second Amendment Foundation founder Alan Gottlieb told me, quote, Illinois' ban on carrying a loaded firearm for self-protection is now history, and now no other state can come back and ban carry. The right to bear arms has been affirmed. The Second Amendment Foundation held Alan Gura, who you heard from earlier today, represent Michael Moore, an Illinois resident who had been allowed to carry a firearm as an off-duty as a corrections officer, but was denied a permit to do so as a civilian jail superintendent. Lisa Madigan is the Attorney General for Illinois. Judge Posner, I heard one of the lawyers say you should read the Heller decision. I would also read this decision. And I'm not a lawyer, and I get completely bored by these things. But these are two decisions that are not boring. They're actually really good reading. And Judge Posner, that's not my book. That's an aside about how boring it is. Judge Posner wisely pointed out in his decision, a woman who is being stalked has a stronger self-defense claim to be allowed to carry a gun in public than the resident of a fancy apartment building complete with a doorman has a claim to sleep with a loaded gun under her mattress, unquote. Posner also noted that the carrying guns can deter crime because, quote, knowing that many law-abiding citizens are walking the streets armed may make criminals timid. Well, Illinois filed a petition for rehearing on bank, which was denied. And then under Posner's direction, the state legislature had 180 days to craft a new gun law that will impose reasonable limitations consistent with public safety and the Second Amendment as interpreted in his opinion on the carrying of guns in public. Attention then turned to the Illinois legislature would write the new carry law along the lines of those in the May issue shall states like Maryland. And this is what Alan Gottlieb told me at the time, if Illinois puts in an overly restrictive law, we'll go back to court again. And on June 1st, its last day in session, the General Assembly of Illinois passed a law that made it difficult for citizens to get permits, but did not require them to show need. Both residents and non-residents, as long as they don't fall into the category of prohibited persons, can take a 16-hour training course and pay fees from $150 to $300 and get a license for 5 years. And then the license can be renewed after a 3-hour training course. Democratic Governor Pat Quinn tried to stand in the way of the federal courts and his own legislature. He issued an amendment veto in early June that would have given Illinois one of the most restrictive carry laws in the country. On July 9th, Illinois House and Senate overturned the governor's veto, and the Second Amendment Foundation's Alan Gottlieb cheered, "We welcome Illinois to the United States of America." And so that just shows you that we do have these courts, and that's the way we can get back what we've lost over the course of this year. And I as I said from the beginning, you know, this is new. It's new. It's only been about 2 years that I've been involved in this case, but I feel so strongly in the Second Amendment, and it upsets me greatly to see how it's being infringed this year. And my position and my stance, I just want to read the last two sentences of my book, and I think this is where a lot of you come to this. God gave us the right to defend ourselves, whether from dangerous citizens or a tyrannical government. Our founding father said those rights cannot be infringed. I generally don't call myself pro-gun. I choose to describe myself as pro-Second Amendment. A gun is just a tool, and the fight is for freedom. Keep up the fight.
Oh, sure.
Emily, everybody in the room knows about this except for you. Okay. But I told them last year that we gave you the Journalist of the Year Award for your columns and your work in the Washington Times. And they all know, but you don't, that you're getting the Journalist of the Year Award again 2 years in a row, this time for your book, Emily Gets Her Gun, Obama Wants to Take It Away. Yeah.
I'm honored. Thank you so much.
So now, Emily, you have a problem. You're going to have to ask the Washington Times for a bigger office. You can have more wall space to put these on.
Well, thank you. I just want to say thank you so much. I am so honored. And, you know, I know all of you get frustrated with journalism and saying things like AR-15 shotguns. So we do our best, the Washington Times, to just give you the facts. And it is, I have such the highest respect for Alan and the Second Amendment Foundation. And it's just truly an honor. I can't believe I got it twice. Thank you. Thank you.
I think that gun that Emily is talking about could also be known as the Biden shotgun. I want to remind you that Emily will be available to sign her book. John Fund will be available to sign his book. John Lott will be available to sign his books. He has a brand new one out. So if you, right outside at the bookstore, they are there waiting for you. Pick up your parking ticket thing if you need it. And I'll see you back here.